We have to remember that abstract art, let us say, or non-representational art, did not come into existence before a declining patronage, but came into existence after a declining pattern of patronage, which was developing from the time of the French Revolution in the 19th century, both in Europe and America. Artists had to realize gradually throughout the latter part of the 19th century that there wasn't any particular sale for their pictures. That is, experimental artists particularly.
Carson, they felt they were coming in a new phase of history of art, really, I guess.
And with that, Arneson, his responsibility to communicate, you think, lapsed with...
I think so. Yes, mm-hmm. I think that when he gradually realized that nobody was going to buy his pictures anyway, that he felt more and more the right to explore aspects of art which were of particular interest to him. Now, I don't say this is the only source for all non-representational art, but I think it's an important element.
Now, you think that continues right on till now, then, Arneson?
Oh, I think it's increased to the point that nobody buys any kind of art.
But what are you going to do with the artist who thinks he's really making a contribution by not painting what the people want, by not even painting what they're ready to understand, but feels he's right out on the forefront of the inventive world of art, and he's out there sending back reports more or less by remote control from what he sees over the horizon? What about that kind of an artist who feels he's communicating what must be communicated and feels very intensely that this is the thing he has to do?
Well, Hayden, I think in that connection, the Van Gogh myth has had a great deal of to do with giving artists false hope. They saw it happen with Van Gogh. He wasn't appreciated. Now hundreds of thousands of people come to see his work in 1950. And I think that's given artists a false sense of encouragement, of possibility that after they die, their work will be appreciated like Van Gogh.
Well, then that's the case. Our society prefers to appreciate the work of dead artists, so the artists probably should count that into the equation when they're planning their work. They have to be good when they're no longer here. Yeah.
I think, again, Hayden, that in this question of communication, we have to go back to the matter of what is being communicated. When we talk about communication, all too often, there's implicit in our thoughts the idea that the artist should communicate in the same way as the Renaissance artist communicated. That is, he should communicate ideas that have been common to Western history from the 15th century down through the 19th. Well, we know that in the Middle Ages there was a common philosophy which could be generally understood, the philosophy of Christianity. In the Renaissance there was a philosophy of man, of individualism, that could be generally understood.
And Arneson, a lot of that was taught by pictures, by art.
A lot of it was taught by pictures.
People couldn't read.
That's right. I mean, pictures became part of the whole pattern of transmitting and these generally felt ideas.
There wasn't need for verbalizing and...
No,
not,
not,
so
not
much.
Very no. much, actually.
And now, Bradahan, you mean we have no common philosophy and that the artist is therefore reft of that basis of communication.
Yeah, there is. He's not... the
just,
people aren't...
Just a minute. Isn't this a contradiction with the notion that the artist is always in touch with his times, maybe a little ahead of it? He feels it intuitively. Now you're saying he's not in touch with his...
Well, there is this cultural lag, of course. It's very interesting. A lot of the art that we call modern today was started way back in 1910, 1913. And today it is encouraging that people are accepting new packaging, new advertising, new industrial designs, which have come from long ago, 30, 40 years ago.
That's perfectly true. We find with students, I guess everybody works with students these days in a college or university art program, finds that they'll wear modern art in their clothing, they'll hang it up in drapery around the window, they'll walk on it in linoleum, but somewhere or other there's a break. They just don't want to put a frame around it and call it art.
Men will wear, very conservative men will wear the loudest ties that you can imagine, but they wouldn't put a frame around it.
I'd like to go back, Hayden, to that remark that you made, or that question you asked there just a moment ago, concerning the relationship of the contemporary artist to the ideas of his own age. You questioned that, and I think the contemporary artist in many ways is much more in contact with 20th century ideas than most of us. That's probably the trouble. Most of us are still thinking in terms of Darwinian and Newtonian physics. The artist, however, has learned things about the world in which we live, which he's expressing in the paintings that you can see over in the exhibit here. You can see, for instance, the number of those paintings which are concerned with what might be called a microscopic view of reality.
Artisan, you mean the influence of science?
The influence of science.
Science,
on
new
the
discoveries.
Artist.
That's exactly. How the artist is keeping up to date.
The artist is in contact with many of those things.
Artisan, I think he not only is communicating, I think he should communicate, that there is a responsibility there in the sense that the more his work is studied and understood, the more sense it makes in, for example, formal terms and in human terms. So it's not a mere mumbo-jumbo, that he should aim at least to try for that kind of communication, and that is a communication that his art itself is required.
Gottschalk, I get an encouraging suggestion, though, that the society may, everybody, just all of us, may be appreciating, understanding this art much more than we think. Just the fact that we use so much of it in furniture and interior decoration and clothing, maybe that's something to be taken into account. It isn't that the artist is talking into the dark, but somehow or other the people are turning around talking back to what they use and do.
Yes, I think that the public has really been more sensitized to modern art, perhaps due to many ways of communication and...
Artisan, excuse me, you were mentioning about your students earlier and their reaction through a year. That's an interesting point, I think, maybe to bring up.
Well, I think that the understanding of contemporary art isn't a particularly involved thing. I've seen in hundreds, I think I can say thousands of students now, that once you take them past certain premises, certain assumptions that they have about art, modern art doesn't present any difficulty to them.
It comes fast, does it?
It comes extremely fast, just as long as they approach it without the preconceptions, without certain ideas that art is something which it actually isn't.
But we aren't talking about students. We're talking about people who don't have the benefits of particular educational setups. What about the people? How do they get into this? How do they participate?
Well, I think, going back, Hayden, to one point that Gottschalk made a little while ago concerning responsibility, I think we have to make it very explicit that a very large part of the responsibility, in fact, I'd say the majority of the responsibility for understanding, rests with the spectator. The spectator will make no effort. The artist today or at any other period in history would be helpless.
Now, what sort of an effort is that?
Well, he has to realize that a work of art is a serious thing. A work of art takes time, it takes thought, and the individual who hasn't had contact with the artist's ideas, he can't just go up to it and comprehend it.
As we said before, Arneson, that this isn't as many much less simple than the atom bomb in certain cases. They have to study it.
You mean it's
sometimes the atom bomb's involved.
Yes, and I think, Arneson, in our society, the public does tend a little to make the art come to him and does not realize the... responsibility that's involved there.
Well, I think that's part of the pattern of declining patronage, actually.
Well, now, who's going to bridge this gap? We apparently recognize a gap, and we keep saying there are signs that it's being bridged one way or another, but who is really responsible for making art carry through as it's
Well, Hayden, I think the critics and those who are paid to write about art have a very great responsibility, and I think always they're not living up to it. They try to make a secret cult of art and things like that. You don't find baseball writers writing about little simple details of the game. They write about the game as
a good
game.
What do you mean by simple little details?
Well, they don't write about how the outfielder's left shoe hurt him and he limped around. They say it was a good game or a bad game. They don't write about the fingernail of somebody. They write about the whole game.
They don't pick on how the frames are made.
No, that's right. No.
I think, Caden, things like the Festival of Contemporary Art that's right here is one way in which this... can be bridge this gap and public...
Now, who's responsible for that? This is an educational institution that does it, but is this the way educational institutions ordinarily work, or do they also make a mystery of it? You don't seem to think very much of the critics, and maybe I don't either.
Well, I suppose educational institutions are backward here, but I think others besides Illinois are trying to put on festivals of this sort, and something of that sort distributed throughout the country.
In other words, they're just presenting the work. Here it is, come and look at it. Is that where the public has to pick it up?
No, I don't think so, Hayden. I think that the presentation of the work, let's put it this way, is a tremendously important step, just getting people familiar with the works of art. But museums and all people who exhibit it should go much further in clarifying and attempting to interpret these things that they exhibit, which they recognize are not immediately understandable to the public at large.
But you don't mean that they should just explain things. That's not how you get people to participate, is it? By saying, now you sit here and I'll tell you what's what. Don't they have to do something more active than that? Don't they have to get in and participate some way?
I think trying to do it themselves, to paint, to mold, is one way in which they can, with these works today as models perhaps, to get the feel of what they are would be a wonderful education.
And Gottschalk might find out it isn't so easy, that they'd have more respect for the artist that did it.
Yes, I think
so. Try and
right.
Paint a good abstraction. Like
really get in there and fight?
Yeah.
Well, I do remember one philosopher, John Dewey, remarks that the percipient, the person who just looks at a work of art, has to be just as creative as the artist. And that's a little hard to get at, maybe, but it means that it's a work for him, too. It's not something you can do just sitting by. And we're saying now the critics are making a mess of it. They're even making it a mystery, are we? And the schools are not doing very well. They're making it a cult. Only educated people can go to Europe and say the right things about the paintings, or even go into contemporary exhibits and say the right thing. And the art dealers, do they get into this? Are they helping or hindering?
Well, I think in certain ways the art dealers hinder. They help in many ways also, but they tend to make a cult and confuse the public about this, which should be corrected.
Something should happen, I see. Well, with a speech like that, if it seemed, as we've been saying, that both the public and the artist share the responsibility for getting across what artists in a society have to say, maybe the thing we'll have to conclude is that it's obvious that the artist and the public ought to get together. If we really want to understand contemporary art, the thing we've been talking about, perhaps everybody should just get some and live with it long enough to at least form a speaking acquaintance with it. Perhaps we should, all of us, just try to express ourselves through one of the arts. Let's just go out and try painting a picture, or making a drawing, or modeling in clay. Maybe that way we could see how hard, or maybe how easy it is to communicate through art.
Thank you, gentlemen. Taking part in today's University of Chicago roundtable on Does the Artist Have a Responsibility to Communicate to the Public? Were Lester Bridaham, Secretary of the Art Institute of Chicago, H. Harvard Arneson, Chairman of the Department of Art, University of Minnesota, D. W. Gottschalk, Professor of Philosophy of the University of Illinois, and Harold Hayden, Professor of Art, the College, University of Chicago. The printed pamphlet of today's roundtable discussion on contemporary art contains the full text of the discussion and publishes special supplementary materials on modern art in America. Be sure to write to the University of Chicago Roundtable, Chicago 37, Illinois, to secure your copy of today's pamphlet. Single copies are 10 cents in coin. A full year subscription to the Roundtable pamphlet costs only $3. Enclose $3 with your order and make your subscription begin with today's program. I'll repeat the address, the University of Chicago Roundtable, Chicago 37, Illinois. May we invite you to join the new Roundtable Home Study courses in Human Rights, World Politics, and Economics in the Modern World. These courses are open to all, and two of them are college credit courses. You may enroll and begin at any time. Write to the University of Chicago Roundtable, Chicago 37, Illinois, for the brochure describing the courses and telling you how you may register. Each month, 3 24-volume sets of the Encyclopedia Britannica are awarded to students in the 3 home study courses most successfully completing the course in that month. Today's program originated from the Festival of Contemporary Arts Conference at the University of Illinois. The Roundtable is a public service presentation by NBC, the national broadcasting company.